Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Frugal Snobs podcast, the award-winning on-demand audio experience that has never won an award, but that could all change. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play Music, or check us out on Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. Find out more by visiting frugalsnobs.com. While you're there, be sure to help out the project by taking the Podtrac survey, directly donating via PayPal, or by doing your Amazon shopping through the Frugal Snobs associate link. We also invite you to follow us on Twitter at Frugal Snobs, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/frugalsnobs. And now, on to the episode.
Hey everybody, this is Justin from frugalsnobs.com. Welcome everybody to episode 110 of the Frugal Snobs podcast. Brock Smith, me say hello.
Hello.
Today is Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. And this week we'd like to also kind of just have a laid-back episode, as we've done in previous episodes more recently, and talk about some of our new old money finds, gold and silver IRAs, and we'll give more details on this in a future episode as well, but we'll introduce the topic here. We'll talk about the WWE TLC pay-per-view and some of the adjustments that have been made, and also we will talk about all of our free stuff, a few weird stories, and just some general haberdashery. All right, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right, so Christine and I have decided to also start getting into better shape.
Yeah.
Getting back into the gym. So we worked out yesterday. We're happy to report we're not sore, which is good. But we do need to get back into drinking protein smoothies and helping out our diets.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to gain 6 to 8 strong pounds by the end of the year in muscle. It's going to be a tall order given that we have 10 weeks left in the year. And Christina's looking at making some adjustments also to feel better, to look better, and to just have just a better self-concept.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Tone up.
Yep. Is that better to say self-concept?
Yeah, because weight is only a number.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, there is a
density, too, though.
Exactly. And I was going to bring up a point. I actually found this just perusing the web over the week. The world's strongest woman lives in Russia, and she's 251 pounds.
Okay. And but how much does she lift?
Over 300.
Pounds?
Yes.
That's not that much. Bench press is over 300?
With her legs.
Oh, with legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she bench pressed like 300 pounds with legs.
Yeah, but it also, she's cut.
Ah.
She hits the muscle definition as well.
Ah, got it. So Christina's strong, everybody, as you probably just heard, so you better be careful, don't mess with her. So
just make sure I'm not crazy.
That's right. So anyway, we are looking at getting ourselves in better shape. It is fall. It's one of my favorite times of the year. We got about 10 weeks left in the year, heading into the Thanksgiving holiday and the holiday period. By the way, everybody, and I'll start it early, 10 weeks early. Season's greetings, everybody. We're getting closer to the Halloween period, Thanksgiving, and then the holiday period for Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, etc. So, and of course, the New Year. So let's go ahead and talk about a few things. So, this week, if I take a few pauses, everybody, it's because I'm sipping on a cup of mixed coffee, so to speak, and it has, what, Turtle Sunday? A few sips of Turtle Sunday in here, as well as a French roast cake cup. So Christina was kind this morning to make a pot of Turtle Sunday. Now let me explain, everybody. Last year during the holiday period, we went shopping for flavored coffees. And we found a medley of the 12 coffees of Christmas. And it was on a massive discount. So we bought a few of them, gave one away for the holidays, bought one for the studio, bought a second one for the studio because I liked some of the flavors, including the Royal House Blend. How classy is that? But in our movements over the past few weeks, we resurrected and found so many of these packages that I didn't actually drink last year. So I'm going to start going through these probably 1 to 2 a week, just trying to get through the end of the year and get rid of these flavored coffees. So Christina made a pot this morning of Turtle Sunday. There we go. I had a truffle coffee as well. I have to go look. But Turtle Sunday. So Christina made a pot of Turtle Sunday. Her plan was to allow me to have a couple of cups, and we were going to put 4 ounces of the remainder of the pot into 2 mason jars and make protein smoothies with protein and powder and also coffee ice cream later on today. So we were able to get a couple cups of coffee out of it for me and the 4 ounce measurements for the mason jars. And again, if you have not heard about the mason jar trick, go back in the podcast and listen to the episode. We'll get you an episode number, hopefully on social media. But if you've heard this trick or seen the video, go check it out. Anyway, Christina was pouring in coffee into the cups, the mason jars, I should say, for our smoothies later today. And there was just a little bit left, maybe an ounce or two, to put in the bottom of a coffee cup. that wasn't enough for me to have a cup for this episode. So to the rescue she comes with an 8-ounce French roast K-cup, and that's what I'm sipping on right now. So, you okay?
I can't wait to start telling stories.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into that in just a second. So let's talk about the TLC pay-per-view.
Okay.
All right. So there's two substitutions. I guess Christina found something funny. So.
Oh, I have to read an email.
Okay. So there's So there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about in terms of the TLC pay-per-view. So if you're not a WWE fan, that's okay. If you are, this will be interesting. If you have been checking out the web recently, Forbes, CBS Sports, etc. have all reported that due to cases of viral meningitis, there will be some substitutions made tonight at the TLC, the Table, Ladders, and Chairs WWE pay-per-view. One of them of note will be Bray Wyatt will not be facing Finn Balor. It will instead be AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. And in the main event of the pay-per-view, in the Tables, Ladders, Chairs match, it will no longer be Miz and his group of folks versus The Shield with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has been pulled from tonight's card as well, and will be replaced with the one and only Olympic gold medalist and American hero, Kurt Angle. How cool is that? He better get a good ovation tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You suck! Yes, he needs to get the you suck. Because he doesn't suck. He's an Olympic gold medalist and a hero. And he's from Pittsburgh, up near your neck of the woods.
Yes.
So, that'll be cool. And Christina and I did watch the Alberto El Patron Kurt Angle WCPW match from earlier this year in February, about a month and a half before Kurt Angle was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And he can still wrestle.
Yes.
Yes, so he's fine. So, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, things work out tonight. And I want to talk about this bait and switch comment that you told me about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently you read some comment online that somebody said that this was a bait and switch for tonight's pay-per-view. I'll give it to everybody like this. If I gave you a penny, and you were expecting to get a penny, but instead I gave you a dollar, which would you take, the penny or the dollar?
The dollar.
Okay.
Duh.
So it's not a bait and switch. It's an upsell.
Yes.
The buy rates for this pay-per-view, from what I've heard, have gone up.
Yes.
Since this announcement on Friday. So,
and it was late Friday when
yes,
they announced
it. Was.
It.
Yep. And we saw it actually also on YouTube on a WCPW bulletin as well from England.
The guy was mad because he just sent out his notes and had to append them with a new video.
That's right. So at any rate, folks, and I'm not saying that Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns are considered to be worth, let's say, a penny. It's just an example. But I'm sorry, folks. When you have Bray Wyatt versus a multi-time, multi-promotion champion in AJ Styles, who has held titles all over the world, rockstar in Japan, went to Europe and all sorts of for several promotions, and won titles all over the planet, come on. Okay, it's going to be a great technical instant classic with Finn Balor, we hope. And then, in the main event, Kurt Angle, substituting for Roman Reigns. Again, Roman Reigns is not a bad wrestler, but Kurt Angle, a guy who's held multiple titles all over the world, Olympic gold medalist, NCAA Division I champion at Clarion University. Christina, you know where that is.
Yes, and, I've been there.
Yeah, and, you know, the guy who held the TNA World title, the TNA X Division title, and the IWGP title from New Japan Pro Wrestling, for which he defeated Brock Lesnar, all at the same time, is a big deal. Excuse me. The gentleman is also a multi-time dual champion as well in WWE. He was the WWE, or at the time WWF, European champion and Intercontinental champion simultaneously. He was a Eurocontinental champion, and there's only been a few of those. So, excuse me, you get a guy like Roman Reigns, that's fine, but you replace him with somebody like that with those accolades, it's an upsell. Take it, folks.
Oh, exactly.
We'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully it's going to be good. All right, so let's go talk about our free stuff, then we'll get into your story.
Okay. I've sent a few emails.
Okay, so free stuff.
Yes, we got a lot. We really, it's, I think around $12 worth.
Yes, God, I'm sorry, I'm coughing so much. Dry air in the studio. But yes, a lot of free stuff. $12 worth or so. Cat treats for the holidays for the cats.
Yes, for Kirby.
And Kinky. Ugh, those cats are pain. Kirby's a pain.
He's a punk.
He's a punk. He's a fat cat that's gray and white. He's the John Cena of your parents' house, and he's proud to be fat.
Yes, and he struts his stuff with it too.
Ugh. So we have free cat treats, free shower gel, $4 off two large bottles of Herbal Essence product, free Milka bar, and a couple of the Phage crossover yogurts.
Yes.
So you're looking at around $12 of free stuff. Okay. So we did well this week.
Yes.
We struck out a little bit last week. This week we did better.
Yes, much better.
Better. That's not better, folks. That's better. All right. Now, let's go ahead and get into your stories. Okay, so we're going to tell the Pizza Hut story, but we're not going to get into too much detail because it's still pending.
Yes.
But let's go ahead and start with your... What story would you like to start with? Because you seem like you're...
Email.
Oh, yes. So, don't mention the name of the school.
No, but there's a school in New York.
In Brooklyn, New York, specifically.
Yes.
That has mistakenly sent you emails reporting that a list of children or pupils who do not do their homework assignments.
And I've emailed them on multiple occasions to take me off the list.
Yes.
And the teacher had the nerve to reply back saying, I'm confused. Are you a middle schooler or are you an adult? But you were mistakenly included in a series of emails of middle school students. I apologize for mistakenly sending you these emails. I'm like, I've emailed you 3 times to take me off your list. Then right. I am nowhere near. And I actually just told her, I'm in Virginia.
And I'm in my 30s.
And I've already got like, other people in trouble for using my email address.
Yes, it's like people. I mean,
It's identity theft.
If you've made a request for people to remove you from the list, if you control a distribution list, take them off the list.
My next step is to call the school tomorrow.
Yes. So... you know, again, the comments from that teacher are somewhat rude. It's like, oh, I'm confused. Are you a middle schooler or an adult? I am an adult. I've asked you before to do this. I'm in Virginia. I'm in my 30s.
It gets better.
Like, and I went to college, so I'm done with all of this.
It gets better. She okay. ends it with, thank you, you're dismissed, in all capitals.
I see. Well, that's nice.
I'm not dismissed.
Well.
You're not my teacher. Go kiss it. That's my sentiments
well,
on it.
I'm not dismissed.
I've been out of school for years. She's not my middle school teacher.
Like, you're dismissed. I'm like, oh, really? Considering I asked you to remove me from this list weeks, if not months ago.
I'm sorry. You can't do your job.
It's true. So, get on a rant, dear.
I'm protective of my email.
But it's not that you're protective of your email. It's that all we want people to do is to do their jobs. How many times do we have to get, like, up in people's faces?
I've had this email for 12 years.
Yeah, and we've had to basically tell them to do their jobs. And if they say something like, if they get upset, it's like, no, you don't have the right to get upset. I do, because I've asked you to do this more than once. And, oh, I'm sorry, my reaction's a little bit hostile because you won't do your job. The difference is you're mad because someone finally called you on it. You're a fake. You've been faking it for years, and you finally got called on it, and somebody had, you know, the gumption to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Someone finally punched you in the mouth. I'm sorry. It was going to happen eventually. And it happened to be us. So, there you go.
It's like, take me off. This is a case of identity theft. And if I have to, I'll press legal charges.
I don't know if it's identity theft, but...
It's your email identifies you.
To a point, yes. It's not really that unique, though. It can be, but there's more unique aspects of your identity, like your social security number. That's a little different. So you're a little miffed about that.
Yes, I'm very particular on my personal email.
See, I don't care about that. I don't. There's more than just one, you know, my name, I'll say, you know, out there. So it's like on LinkedIn, there's multiple people with my first and last name. So it's not like it's that unique.
Well, it's not my actual first and last name in this email.
But I'm just saying. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself sometimes, okay? More people are coming online more often, so it's like, look, it's a mistake. So hopefully you never receive these emails again, and I'll bet you dollars for donuts you will, at least once. I'll bet you get at least one more. I'll bet you. I will bet you. Plus, what's actually quite funny is in the emails that you were getting, several of them were undeliverable, right?
Yeah.
So at least several of these parents of these pupils...
Yes.
Are not getting emails about their kids' behavior and not turning in homework assignments.
And that also shows the lack of care with the school, because the school does not verify the emails prior to the school year starting.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So that just tells you the quality of education the children are receiving.
Plus, I mean, if those emails are being sent out to parents, then the non-deliverable emails would be sent back to the teacher.
Yeah.
So wouldn't the teacher be concerned that the parents are not receiving the emails?
Exactly. Why wouldn't they rectify it?
Or she may also be making phone calls, too. But it's like, hey, do your jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, do your jobs. So, again, public education in the United States.
Sucks.
That's rude. It sucks. That was rude.
But, I mean, it used to be good.
I'll put it this way. I don't think the educational system really sucks. I think there's gaps and holes in the quality of education that is delivered.
Yes, because people don't know how to monetize and capitalize on the current technology that they have.
It's true. That's true. You know, I'm not trying to sound rude to anybody out there that's a teacher. I'm not saying you're not doing your job. I mean, what I'm saying is that I think that in certain cases that...
The parents prevent you from doing your job right.
Well, it's either that or, again, it could be a teacher thing. I mean, teachers are not perfect. I mean, I can honestly say when I went to college, I was not prepared for college. I learned in college how to be prepared for college and did well eventually. But when I got there, I was not prepared for the academic rigor of a large university. I was not. And I'll openly admit that. I thought I was, and to a degree I was. But in reality, probably even your best effort in a public high school, an SAT-based, ACT-based, standardized test-basing system, probably at best, probably makes you a B student at most, at best, probably a B to B minus student at, you know, a standard state university. At an Ivy League school, of course, it's a little bit different because those pupils tend to kind of excel in school always anyway.
Yeah.
So they're going to do well no matter what, so they're not really kind of included in my statistic here. I mean, they're above that bar that's being set.
This is for the average student.
For the average student, that student's probably a B to C student at best.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even a D student in some cases. but because of how certain tuition rules and laws work in given states, some state universities cannot turn students away because they're a state resident.
Yeah.
They have to admit you. So that's essentially what happens. I mean, and again, it moves into the strata system of this country, that the policy in the United States and the future of the United States is basically left to the top 20% of Americans.
Yes.
And it is. The top 20% that are the wealthiest, that are the most educated, they tend to rule the remainder. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, you can be anything in this country. I don't know about that. I think you can with the right conditions.
Yes.
But if you don't have the right conditions, it's a little bit different. And yes. I'm not saying you can't get those conditions to be made more favorable for you. But if you don't know how to get there, don't know how to behave or be a social citizen, then you have a problem. I mean, for example, this teacher who responded to you with, "You're dismissed." No, I asked to be removed from the email list.
I asked over a month ago.
Yes. And I would think that teacher should be spending more of her time trying to ensure that parents of children who had this email rejected or not delivered are getting information about their children. See, that right there tells me that this teacher does not have her priorities straight. Anyway, again, if you are an educator, I have also been an educator at the university level myself, so I have some degree of expertise here. Christina, you have a degree in education.
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, I don't have a degree in education, but I have been a college lecturer. So, I mean, I think we both have perspective on this that's a little bit different than just the average person.
Yes.
That, I mean, pedagogy and matriculation through a system are different depending on your conditions, where you are, if it's public or private, if it's a homeschooling situation. Again, it's different, but I think in a way, the educator in this case is wrong. I think that she should be focusing on, one, adjusting for your request, and two, making sure that parents are also communicated with appropriately, because again, you performed a reply all, and three of those emails or so addresses are not deliverable to. So
exactly.
Like, wait a minute. So if you did that, then the teacher should be doing that as well and should be getting the same notifications and responses. And she should be focusing on getting those kids and their parents notified.
Yes.
And not on you.
Yes, if the email...
In fact, you know, you might want to respond with that and say, you know, "I appreciate your response, however, don't you think it may be best for you to be doing this versus this? I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job. It's just your time should be spent not worrying about me serving my request without response and then also making sure that these children and their parents are notified."
Yes.
That's your priority. Got to tell about other jobs. Anyway, can we move on?
Yes.
Let's move on. Okay. Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Pizza Hut. So, folks, Christina's going to be posting an image on Facebook at the Frugal Snobs group, I guess, page.
Yes, our page, yeah.
So go check out the page. I think it's at facebook.com/frugalsnobs.
Yes.
Go check it out. There will be an image. In fact, she might be posting it right now. Who knows? She's sitting here at her desktop here in the studio. So there is an image and we would like feedback on this image. Now, Friday night, Christina decided to have some pizza from Pizza Hut.
Yes.
Pizza. Nobody out pizzas the Hut, right?
That's what they say.
That's their new slogan now. And when you were a kid in the 80s, Pizza Hut was like the place to go. It was. They had the old jukeboxes. They had the plastic cups. They had the pizza buffet. Remember that?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And for my parents, especially my father, was one of the few places back at that time where you could get taco pizza.
Ugh.
Taco pizza was awesome. It had lettuce and onions and tomato pieces and meats, and you could pour this really hot salsa stuff all over it. It was delicious. Taco pizza. Anyway, so we decided to go and pick up some pizza on Friday night. Now, Christina fought traffic to go a whopping 2/10 of a mile, which
took 30 minutes.
It happens here in Northern Virginia, though. It's the D.C. Metro, man. It takes a while to go anywhere. A mile is far here, folks, in case you need a reference point here. It's like living in New York or Philadelphia or Boston. It takes a while to go anywhere. I mean, I work, 1.9 miles from the studio here?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
And it will take 20 minutes.
At 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it takes 20 minutes. So, it's to go that far. So, due to lights and everything else. Anyway, so Christina goes, picks up a pizza. A two-topping large, $8. Not bad. Now, this two-topping large had chicken and pineapple and was drizzled with barbecue sauce, or so we thought. Now, we've gone to Pizza Hut a few times for their deals they've had. They have some decent stuff. And we ordered, I think, from them in the past, two medium pizzas.
Two toppings.
Up to five toppings.
Yes.
Yeah. For two mediums, up to five toppings for $7 a piece.
Yes.
Must buy at least two.
Yeah.
Now, I tend to get five toppings of all meats on
yes.
my pizza. And, of course, we also get the stuff on the crust and... you know, the sauces and things. Anyway, we're expecting a pizza.
Yeah.
Barbecue chicken pizza, basically.
Yeah.
Open the box. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Did you post the image yet?
I did.
Good. Go check it out, everybody. It's at facebook.com/realsnobs.
First off, you can see the grease on the box.
Yes.
You can see the barbecue sauce dripping down the sides of each slice.
It was a puddle of barbecue sauce with pizza maybe under there.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
You couldn't taste the pineapple, you could not taste the chicken.
Anyway, so Christina calls the location, which is 2/10 of a mile away, and explains the problem. She was not satisfied. First, they apologized and offered to deliver a replacement pizza. Okay, then, I don't want to get upset, so I'm kind of trying to tell the story a little bit, to paraphrase it. Then, Christina gets on the phone with the manager, who's rude to her, threatens to call the police on you, and you didn't even threaten her.
No, didn't.
No, and then says, oh, well, this manager says, oh, well, you ate the pizza. Okay, listen. We have timestamps for all this time.
Yes.
You have a timestamp for when the pizza was given to you and you paid for it. You have a timestamp from when you got from when you made the phone call, which would have meant you would have to drive the pizza home. Does she think you're sitting, driving, eating? No. No, you did not eat the pizza. You had enough time to take a picture, an image of the pizza. And the image, by the way, folks, is on facebook.com/frugalsnobs.
Yes.
This is an image of this disgusting pizza that you called about, Christina.
Yeah.
And just wanted to have fixed. And then they didn't deliver, and they wouldn't deliver. They wanted you to come pick it up, and you said no. Of course not. You're not going to inconvenience yourself again in traffic to go that far to and from.
That's another hour out of my time.
That's right. And it's their mistake.
Yes.
So... this rude manager basically got on your nerves, so you called corporate.
Yes.
So we will give everyone an update as to what's going on. And even when you called, they kind of thought it was absurd that, one, this person was so rude to you, and two, the fact that they just wouldn't deliver a replacement pizza. So if they
especially being so close.
And if they ask for an image of the pizza, send it. You obviously didn't eat the pizza when the picture was taken, and it was taken. You probably have a timestamp on when that picture was taken as well.
I do.
Yeah, so there's no way by the time you made that phone call and the time you took the image and were accused of eating the pizza, really? Really? So that means you literally inhaled that pizza. That pizza, by the way, everybody, that you can see at frugalsnobs.com or at facebook.com/frugalsnobs. So go there. Don't go to frugalsnobs, folks. I apologize. I was getting a little heated. So don't go to frugalsnobs.com.
And you're preventing me from getting heated.
Go to facebook.com/frugalsnobs. And you can hear the podcast, of course, at frugalsnobs.com. So, anyway, there is no way between the time you took the picture, that image, on your phone of that pizza, and the time you made that phone call, that you could have eaten the pizza. It's like, wait. I ate the pizza? The image was just taken of the full pizza minutes ago. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? People. That's all I can say. People.
Yes. I still have the receipts. I still have transaction numbers.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Now, again, we are not happy. So you, Christina, have your own set of items you would like to have this situation handled. And we won't talk about it on the episode, but we'll let everybody know what happens in future episodes. Ugh!
Yes.
We've had issues with, like, other vendors of pizza before. Yeah. And they were at least...
You know, they at least delivered when they knew they made a mistake.
Yes, and they've also given you reconciliatory coups.
Yeah.
So they gave you some things, too, to help you out.
Ugh. Yeah.
Two bad stories.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been talking for a while about this. All right, I want to get on to something else.
Coins!
So, we went shopping this week, and we have a bad story to tell everybody also about a little bit of deception, but we're dealing with it. So, we went shopping this week. We went first for one of my coworkers who had some coins in his collection, and we were actually pleasantly surprised. We picked up the Series D.
Yes, Series D.
Yes, the Series D Isaac Newton note, £1 note, printed between 1971 and 82.
Yes.
Left circulation, withdrawn in 1988. You can go check out the video on YouTube. So go to frugalsnobs.com. That you can go to frugalsnobs.com for it. Not the image of this pizza. Again, facebook.com/frugalsnobs. And give us feedback on the image, folks. We want to know what you think of what this pizza looks like. Anyway, because it will help us. Anyway. Ugh. So go to frugalsnobs.com. Check out the video for the Isaac Newton note. It's really cool. Sir Isaac Newton is featured on the backside of this note. Queen Elizabeth II is featured on the front of the note. And again, hit the subscribe button while you're there. And we'll be bringing more currency review videos to everybody moving forward, but we've just been really busy. But we did get the video up. It's online. You can go check it out right now. So we did pick up the Isaac Newton note.
Yes.
Okay. We also picked up a 1913 Canadian quarter.
Yes.
Featuring George V.
Yes.
A 1917 Canadian nickel,
yes.
Also featuring George V.
Yes.
Two 1967 coins from Canada. A 1967 penny,
yes.
And a nickel. So, which is awesome because it will complement our commemorative $1 banknotes from Canada for this Canadian centennial. Let's see, okay, so...
And then I also got the 1978 rounded jewel.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
50 cent piece.
From Canada.
Yes.
So Canadian half dollar from 1978. Yes. So, interesting stuff, folks. Got some good stuff. And this week, we also received our Australian proof sets.
Yes.
So, 1982 and 83. Christina's keeping mine hostage, the 82 at least, for Christmas. I can at least look at it and Google it. And my set also includes a Brisbane, Australia, 1982 Commonwealth Games commemorative coin. That's awesome. And then, of course, Christina was able to pick this up for me, and it was actually delivered relatively quickly. A 1982 Falkland Islands proof set. Same year of the Falkland Islands War. Last year that Falkland Island proof sets were available was in 1982.
Yes.
So.
You did some research this morning.
Yes, I did. So I went out to look at this coin set. You know, I was looking online and there was at least one website that wanted a retail price of $70. For this set, we did not pay $70 for this proof set.
Nope!
Their price, even, beyond suggested retail, was still $50.
Yes.
$50 US for this coin set. The coin set does include, however, folks, the 50 pence coin, which is the largest coin in the set, does include a 28.28 gram sterling silver half pound or 50 pence coin. That's pretty cool. Even though it's sterling silver, it's still cool.
Yes.
Did not know that it was there. But the coins are interesting. They feature Elizabeth II adjusted profile, so interesting, with the rounded jewel crown.
Yes.
Versus the square jewel crown.
Yes.
And again, the backings of these coins are gorgeous. They feature, of course, seals, birds,
penguins,
or I used to call them pendulums or penguins. And again, that's a Mongols reference, everybody. If you're in the UK, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of really interesting stuff on the back of these coins, and I was happy to get this set. But I bought this set from Christina, so I'm allowed to have this set.
I can't hold it hostage.
You cannot hold it hostage. It's mine. So it's a cool set. We'll probably bring a review to YouTube in probably the next month or so for the Falkland Islands set. So at this point, again, if I include the Christmas items, I now have a U.S., which I had, proof set from 1982, a Canadian, a British, and Australian set, which I'll be getting hopefully for the holidays, a Falkland Islands set also. I got five proof sets.
Yes.
Five proof sets from 1982. That's pretty cool. So, Christina also bought an interesting banknote.
Yes.
I got it in my mouth for a while. I'm sorry.
It's the Bank of England Series C £5 note.
Yes. And it features the Helmeted Britannia?
That's the one I'm waiting on.
Oh, okay.
That's the Series B.
I'm so confused.
Which I have an hour and 13 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, we better wrap this podcast up soon. So, got a lot of things, folks. And Barbara Dimes. So, let's talk about this a little bit. So, yes. Christina and I decided to purchase what we thought was a roll of Barbara Dimes for $16. Now, I understand, everybody, that you think we were crazy for getting 50 Barbara Dimes for $16. We thought, we'll buy it anyway and see what's in it. Now, we thought, there might be some really worn Barbara Dimes in this roll of 50 coins.
Yeah.
But maybe if we had a couple,
yeah,
2 to 4 Barbara Dimes,
nice. It
would have been nice, and we could have used the rest as bonus coins or what have you for our auctions on eBay, which we'll get to in a second. So we ordered this roll of Barbara Dimes, $16 US. We received the roll yesterday. We open it. It's 49 wheat pennies and one Barbara Dime from 1912. So we went and looked up the value of the wheat pennies. We actually essentially broke even,
yeah,
if you include the shipping on it. But we're not happy, everybody. We have one Barbara Dime. We did put it in a 2x2. So we'll keep it. It's a 1912 Barbara Dime worth about $5 US. And the wee pennies that we were able to pick up were roughly worth approximately $8.50 or so, $8.55, something like that. So if you take the value of the coins plus a premium for shipping them to us, we basically broke even. But to get one Barbara Dime in a roll, especially when the listing states coins, and the seller makes it seem as if the entire roll is Barbara Dimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little deceptive. And then looking at the feedback on the seller, I mean, we should have done more research.
And I've also learned eBay has a new feature, mm-hmm, where you can actually review the actual item whenever it's a multiple buy it now.
Ah, nice. So basically you can go through the multiple buy it now and say, this item was worth this, and reviewed at this rate, this item was worth
this. Well, actually, no, people put their comments on whether or not it's worth it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So that's a nice feature that I found in eBay.
So, you know, what can I say? I mean, I think we're going to get a couple of the wheat pennies out of it that we don't have. We'll keep the Barbara Dime, reluctantly, put it in the inventory. And we did break even. Just we wanted to be more excited, folks. Let's also talk about the 10 Fenning coin.
Yeah.
So, Christina and I purchased, and we think we talked about this on the podcast last week.
Just only that we purchased it.
Yes, we purchased what we believe to be 10 1930s and 40s Reichsfenning coins,
yeah,
from Germany. No, what we received was one coin from the imaged coins that we saw in the image on the listing on eBay.
Yes.
So we didn't get all 10 coins. We got one of those 10. So we received two 10 Reichsfenning coins from 1941 and 42.
Yeah.
They are not worth $3.60. Negotiated down, by the way.
Yeah, from...
from like...
$5.
$5 per coin? They're not worth $5 a coin. Listen, folks, a Reichsfenning coin, even though it might be cool for historical purposes, and I'm not saying it in a rude or racist way, just from a World War II perspective, because they are interesting coins, because they do feature the German eagle, a swastika, and all this other stuff, just to have them in your collection, they are not worth $5. They are worth roughly a dollar.
Yeah.
Now, regardless of the denomination, the Reichsfenning coins are worth roughly a dollar per coin.
Because of the hyperinflation.
That's right. Well, not really. No, not for the hyperinflation, so to speak. That was from the 20s.
Yeah.
These are just worth a dollar because there were just a ton of them available, and there's still a ton available. They're not that rare. So, yes, I can understand maybe paying $1.50 to $2 for one, but pay $5 to receive a coin that's only worth $1, not worth it. So we're sending those back. So we are returning them. So a little disheartening this week, but... we usually have good to great weeks. Now we're having an okay week, and it's all right.
We'll go on Kick Butt this week.
Yes, we will. So we're going to handle things. So, all right. So let's also talk about the gold and silver IRAs.
Yes.
And we'll wrap this up this episode. So gold and silver IRAs. So Christina and I were talking about this, and it was brought to my attention by my coworker, the individual we bought the coins and banknote from this week. That gold and silver IRAs do exist, and you can actually open accounts for a gold and silver, or gold or silver IRA.
Or precious metal.
What it allows you to do is it allows you to purchase coins or precious metal, to Christina's point, that are held by a custodian that you can actually hold aside and contribute to like a regular IRA. And the contributions are also tax deductible.
Yes.
So if you're a numismatist or a coin collector who's collecting silver coins or bullion or bars of any kind, you can actually go through an approved list, purchase these items for your collection, and they're held aside by a custodian, which we're still doing research on the custodian, and I put air quotes around that for those who can't see me, of course, which is everybody but Christina. We need to find out who that custodian is. Is it a federally insured safe deposit box? Is it a bank? We'll bring more details to everybody on a future episode. But Christina, you had a couple of coins, including the Britannic coins that we purchased earlier this year.
Yeah. And my unicorn coin.
And your unicorn coin that are actually on the approved list.
Yes.
So you could actually have written those off your taxes and still collected them.
Yeah.
So that's the cool part, folks. If you are getting into coin collecting or are kind of getting back into coin collecting after a while, this might be a good way for you to save for your retirement and deduct it from your taxes, folks, and still collect. That's a good thing. I mean, for those of us, like Christina and myself, I mean, we're probably getting into the higher rent district in terms of our coins and banknotes. So we're probably going to be looking at spending $1,000 plus a year on coins and banknotes. So write it off.
Yes.
If you can, write it off. Absolutely. So, all right, folks. So we'll be bringing the more details on that in a future episode of the podcast. At any rate, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. So if everybody enjoyed the episode this week, if you're taking a look at the TLC, pay-per-view this evening, check it out. Hopefully it works out for everybody. We'll bring details next week on some of our stories this week and on any new developments, and we'll also bring an update on the gold, silver, precious metal IRAs. Be well, never pay retail, everybody, and we'll see everybody down the road for episode 111.